Now that you have your Bible open to Psalm 51, leave it there. We'll come back to it. We want to add some other scriptures to it so that we can see the process taking place. Let's come to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. Now here's another promise that ties in with Romans, the third chapter that we covered, about how God accomplishes the removing of our sins through his grace by the blood of Christ. That is the sacrifice. Okay? Now let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 6 of chapter 1. If we proclaim we have fellowship with him, means we have contact with God, we pray to God, we're keeping his commandments, but we are walking in the darkness, and the darkness is the light of this world from Satan the devil. We are lying to ourselves. In other words, we haven't come to grips with a deceitfulness that we do not have the ability to do things of our own, of a righteousness that God requires, and are not practicing the truth. Now, that's a perfect description of Sunday keeping and holiday keeping. Okay? Perfect description. And of course, what he's talking about here are about those who at that time were bringing those things into the church. Now, verse 7, 1 John, the first chapter. However, if we walk in the light, and if you do a word study on light, that's the commandments of God, that's the way of God, that's the truth of God, and Christ is the light of the world, the resurrection, the way, the truth, and the life. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, so that's a standard for us, then we have fellowship with one another. Now notice it also includes all of us together. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his own son, cleanses us from all sin. Now the only sin that will not be forgiven is the sin in rejecting God, rejecting his Holy Spirit. And if a person has that kind of sin, they don't even care. So if someone is worried, well, have I committed the unpardonable sin? Well, if you're worried, no, you haven't. Best thing to do is go repent. Now notice, continuing here. If we say we do not have sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So one of the things we're going to see, the result of repentance and confession of sins and forgiveness of sin is to replace the lies, the deceit, the evil within with truth. Now here's a promise, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now see, because God gave us the nature that we have, he is there willing, he is there ready, see, upon repentance and confession to forgive our sins. And there isn't any one of us who hasn't done something that is really of a great magnitude before God that needs repentance, that needs forgiveness. And God will do that. Why? Because we're out there blinded by Satan the devil, going our way, living the way that we think is right, and God is there to forgive when we come to our senses to understand what we're doing. Now, back to Psalm 51. Verse 1, this also shows us how to approach God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. And when you stop and think about everything he had to think of and everything that David had to do to try and cover this up, and yet, like it says, there are birds that fly with messages. They didn't have telephones in those days, but they had talking tongues. And the country knew about this. They knew. You think Joab kept his mouth shut? All right. Notice, verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Notice how this follows along with 1 John, the first chapter. See? Cleanse me from my sin. And that means you have to have your mind cleared, your thoughts cleared, the mark before God against you in sinning. You have to have that cleansed and wiped away. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. So you come to the point that there is nothing else you can think of than to repent of that sin and think to yourself, how could I have done this? Now here's the truth concerning all sin. Others are involved, yes. It involved Bathsheba. It involved Uriah the Hittite. It involved Joab the general. It involved the soldiers that were with, Uriah the Hittite. It involved all the troops that were with him, that they had to obey the command to withdraw and leave him alone so the enemy could kill him. And that got out to all Israel. All Israel knew against you, even though all those other people were involved. You only have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be in the right when you judge. Because God certainly was in the right. Look at all that he did for David. So he goes back clear to the time that he was conceived. He says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. Now that's an admittance that sin is within, part of your being. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Now here's the result of repentance. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, inside, in your mind, your thoughts, your spirit, your attitude, and everything, and God will forgive and cleanse. Now we're to remember the lesson, but we're not to go back and emotionally relive the thing again. Paul always remembered what he did to the church. He repented of that. But he didn't go back and emotionally relive it over and over and over again, see. And in the hidden parts, you shall make me to know wisdom, that you learn from what you did, and you understand how foolish that was. Purge me with hyssop. Now that's the strongest cleaner you can get, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It's like it says there, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. See, God is ready to forgive. Notice how quickly when you read the account that God forgave David. He said, your sin is put away. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Isn't that what we read back there in Isaiah, the first chapter? Yes, indeed. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Now, all of this, first nine verses, are the foundation what God wants with repentance, see? And forgiveness. Now, something new is going to happen. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's what God wants. So that we can, out of it, we can learn the lessons. We can go forward. We can change. Now notice what else he says here. Cast me not away from your presence. So he came very close to being rejected by God after all that God did for him. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. So it shows that even with the Holy Spirit, you can sin. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and let your free spirit uphold me. And that's what we need, brethren. That's why you look at the things in the New Testament when it says, If there is someone who has a fault or trouble, you who are spiritual, you restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself. See, because look, here is God, who is perfect, who is righteous, who is holy, who is loving, who is kind, who is gracious, and he's blotting out your sins and washing them away. Now let's see what he does with them, see? Now let's come to Psalm 103. Let's see what God does. When God does something, wouldn't you say he does a good job? Yes, indeed. Psalm 103. Now then we come to God with thanksgiving, with blessing, with gratefulness, with humility. Now let's see, this is a great psalm right here. Psalm 103, that tells us what God does with our sins. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now you become even more dedicated to God, more thankful to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Think about everything that God has done for you in many different ways. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. Now that's what it says back in 1 John, the first chapter. See? Forgives all your iniquities, all your sins, all your shortcomings. Who heals all your diseases. And God does. Who redeems your life from destruction. Because sure enough, with all the sins that we have, we're headlong for destruction, right? Yes. Redeems us. Has bought us back with the sacrifice of Christ. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Just like the father of the prodigal son. Son came home, he didn't say, well, about time you got back here. What have you been doing? I knew it. Yeah, you go over there and you get the worst job. No, he didn't do it. He gave him a robe, accepted him back, ring for his finger, sandals for his feet. I mean, he must have been in miserable shape when he came home. All bedraggled, dirty, okay? Crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your desires with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Yes, God is there to help you in every way. Now come down here to verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Okay, back to verse 6. I should have had verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. And sin from Satan the devil is what oppresses us. Made known his ways to Moses and children of Israel. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in mercy. Isn't that something? Now you go to any of the courts of the land here and see if you can get any of that. He will not always chasten, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, because the wages of sin is death, and we're still alive, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So they've been removed. They are gone on God's record. As a father has compassion upon his children, so the Lord has compassion upon those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. So God understands. God understands. Now let's see about the prayer of intercession, confession and repentance. Let's come to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel 9. Let's see how Daniel prayed. Notice how fervent this prayer was. because he finally understood the 70 years that Jeremiah had written in his book. And so we find in verse 2, well, this is really a heartfelt prayer. And notice God intervened immediately to give him the prophecy of the coming Messiah, way beyond his expectation. Verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years which came according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. And I set my face toward the Lord, full purpose, toward the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now, we don't need sackcloth and ashes today because God wants a broken spirit and a contrite heart. But we certainly do need fasting. So fasting comes with repentance as well. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and awesome God, keeping the covenant and mercy to those who love him and to those who keep his commandment. Now here he's praying for the whole nation of Israel. All exiled now, the 10 tribes off into Assyria, the Jews over into Babylon, and here's Jerusalem laying desolate. Verse 5, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled and have turned aside from your commandments and your ordinances. Neither have we hearkened unto your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our rulers, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Now, this is the kind of prayer that is necessary to heal the nation here today. And, of course, we are far, far, far from that kind of attitude, see. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us confusion of face, as it is at this day to the men of Judah and to the people of Jerusalem, to all Israel who are near or who are far off, throughout all the countries where you have driven them because they dealt treacherously against you. Notice that deep repentance and confession here. And so this is quite a prayer. O Lord, confusion belongs to us, to our kings. We have read that, verse 9. To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgivenesses, even though we have rebelled against him. They acknowledge your rebellion. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws. So you confess your transgressions, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel has sinned, or transgressed rather, against your law, and have turned aside, so that they might not obey your voice. He realized what happened. Therefore the curse has been poured out upon us, and the oath that was written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. So that's quite a prayer. And right after that, the decree went out to release as many of the Jews as wanted to go back to the Holy Land. And then the prophecy came, the rest of chapter 9, concerning the coming of the Messiah. All right. Now let's see some other things concerning how we are to forgive. Now here's quite a touching one. We're to forgive one another. Remember what Jesus said, that our sins are forgiven if we forgive those who sin against us. So God expects us to operate in that manner. And sometimes it's really hard to do, especially if you've been offended. Okay? But God expects that to be done. Now let's look at one of the greatest offenses in the world. Let's come back to Genesis 50. That was quite a thing. Genesis 50. Now this is after Jacob died, whose name was changed to Israel. And now came the moment of truth. Joseph and his brothers were together now. What had they done? What a thing that they did. Because Joseph came out with the tunic of many colors that his father gave him and was very arrogant, smart aleck to him. And he told him, I had two dreams. And one of them was that even his father and mother would bow down to him. And so would they. So they got mad. And they were going to kill him. And then, no, Judah said, don't kill him. Let's sell him. So they, you know, nice loving brotherly love, you know, nice kindness is going on. So they took his tunic, took the blood of a goat, put all over it. And here came the Midians with their caravan. They sold him off to Egypt. Came back, bald-faced lie for all of those years that Joseph died, eaten alive by a wild beast. And that was the son that Jacob loved, and he was just like the father of the prodigal son. Well, then, you know what happened when there was a famine? They had to go down into Egypt, and that was after, through God's blessing and grace, that Joseph was raised to be second in command of all of Egypt, and how, through his work of the 7 years of plenty, they survived the 7 years of famine. And so God worked it out that they had to come down and get food. Well, you know what happened. They didn't recognize Joseph because he was all dressed in this Egyptian garb and was full grown at that time. And so he knew who they were, but he didn't tell them. And he did several things. He put silver candlesticks in their grain taking back, and then had the Egyptian troops go out and say, oh, you've stolen things. No, we didn't. Yes, you did. Looked in there, well, what is this? So they brought him back, and he said, all right. Are there any others of you? Yes, we have a young brother. And that was Joseph's brother as well. He said, will you bring him? Well, we can't. You bring him. So sent back to Jacob, said, now you have to let Joseph go with us on this next, or not Joseph, but Benjamin go with us on this next trip. So then, make a long story short, at that time, then he revealed who he was and said, go get my father. So they all came down to Egypt, and they were given the best land in the land of Goshen, and the children of Israel lived there. So they prospered, became mighty. Now, Joseph lives to be 110 years old. Okay? Now, before his death, let's come down here after they buried his father. Let's come to Genesis 50 and verse 14. Here is a perfect example of forgiveness of a great sin. Genesis 50 and verse 14, and I imagine that this was really quite a tremendous thing that they went through. Have you ever had a family feud that ran so hard and so deep, you know, that you did things that were so wrong and so deliberate, you know, and yet forgiveness is required? Verse 14, Joseph returned to Egypt, he and his brothers and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will perhaps hate us and will certainly repay us all the evil which we did to him. And they sent a message to Joseph saying, so they wrote it out. Our father commanded before he died, saying, thus shall you say to Joseph, I beseech you now, forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. And please now forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when he spoke to them. And his brothers also went and fell down before him, and they said, behold, we are your servants. That must have been quite a scene indeed. And Joseph said to them, do not fear. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save a great many people alive. And now, do not fear. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke to their hearts. That must really been quite a thing at that point. See? And Joseph lived in Egypt, and he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years old. And then it talks a little bit more about Joseph there. Okay? Now, that was quite a thing. Now let's look at one that is even greater than that. Let's come to the book of Luke. Now, we won't go through all the experience that Jesus went through leading up to the crucifixion. But I want you to understand that through this, how ready God is to forgive sin. You go to God, you confess your sin. You have problems you are battling in your mind, we'll cover that some more, even with the sermons I've been doing on how to overcome the sin within. Luke 23 and verse 33. Now remember, all that Jesus had gone through, the mocking, the beating, the hitting, the spitting, the things that the high priest did, that the soldiers did, the scourging. And if there's one thing in a movie by Mel Gibson, I think his depiction of the scourging was really very graphic, because it says that he was marred more than the sons of men. All right? Now, what is God manifested in the flesh going to do? And here, there is not one who repented. Verse 33. When they came to the place called Place of a Skull, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and one on the left. First thing that Jesus said when they hoisted him up on that tree to make the cross, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now you talk about merciful, kind, and gracious, and loving. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That is sure true. Absolutely. Now let's come back to Psalm 85. So what you need to do in going to God is humble yourself, confess your sins, ask God to wipe them away. You have to get up and do what is right after that. Change your behavior. Ask God to help change your mind. Change your thoughts. God will do it. That's why he's called you. He has called you to be his son or daughter. He has called you to live forever. He has called you that daily you can have your sins forgiven. Okay? Psalm 85. Verse 1, O Lord, you have shown favor to your land. You have brought back Jacob from exile. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sins. Selah, which means meditate on this. See, because over here in verse 5, the next psalm says you're ready to forgive. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. And also this helps us to see how we need to pray to God as well. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Because God is ready to forgive. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you draw out your anger to all generations? Will you not give us life again so that your people may rejoice in you? And we think of that with the whole world and all 12 tribes of the children of Israel today. Show us your mercy, O Lord. Grant us your salvation. That's what we want. We want to be saved from our sins, but we want to be saved from the flesh. See? Verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. We have it right here. Written down for us, for he will speak peace to his people. That's Israel. and to his saints. That is us, because every epistle of the Apostle Paul is what? Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, so that the glory may dwell in our land. And I love these next verses. These are tremendous, and this is what God wants out of it all. God does not delight in the death of the wicked. Verse 10. Mercy and truth have met together. That is through the mercy and long-suffering of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What a beautiful poetic thing that is written. Earth shall, correction, verse 11, truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. And that's what God will do with forgiveness. This is why every day we ask God, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven, as we have sinned against others. Every day. Now, this will help us greatly when we understand the forgiveness of God. None of us have done the things as treacherously as David, or as evil and hard-hearted as the Apostle Paul when he was Saul. So whatever it is that you repent of, let God wash it away, learn the lesson, and be dedicated to doing the truth. And that's what repentance and forgiveness is all about. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.